The reading today is from chapter 2 of Matthew's Gospel. If you wish to follow it, you can find it on page 966 of the New Testament section of the Bible. I'm beginning to read at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we come to God's word together this morning, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a God who chose to reveal yourself to us, that you are a God who speaks into our lives. And I pray that you would speak to us now, that the words that we hear would not be my words, but your words, and that anything I say that's not of you would fall by the wayside, that we would hear you this morning. For your glory's sake. Amen. As I've already hinted at, our Bible reading this morning from Matthew chapter 2 is a reading which has been the subject of much discussion with historians and theologians comparing the similarities and the differences between the account of the birth of Jesus in Luke's Gospel and in Matthew's Gospel, and asking lots of questions about the events described here in Matthew chapter 2. Why does the visit of the Magi only feature in Matthew's Gospel? What is the significance of the visit of the Magi? Did it even happen? Did it actually happen? Was there really a special star in the sky? And if there was, would people have really followed it? I mean, the Bible seems to be advocating astrology here. What's going on? Whilst Christmas cards and nativity plays depict three kings, there is no mention of there being three of them or that they were kings. And some of you will have heard me say this before, it's also likely that they travelled on horses, not camels. But there's actually no mention of either in the passage. It's actually quite sparse on detail. For something that's become a big feature of nativity plays, there's actually not very much detail on what's actually happened in the Bible. So what are we to make of these verses in Matthew 2? If you've got it open, please do keep it open. If you've closed it up, I would encourage you to open it. It's page 966, or feel free to get it up on your phone if that's easier. So beyond the very valid questions of history and science, and they are valid questions, I actually think there's a more important question. So the questions around, was there a star? How did the history work? How old was Jesus when this visit took place? Would Herod have been king? All of these kind of questions. And there are valid questions there. But beyond all of those, I think there's actually a more important question to ask ourselves. And that is this. Do I believe in an extraordinary God who can do extraordinary things and reveal himself in extraordinary ways? Because if I do, whether something scientifically or historically possible kind of doesn't matter. And for me, the answer is yes. Even where things don't make sense to me, I believe in an extraordinary God who can do extraordinary things and reveal himself in extraordinary ways. For me, then, the question is less, did the visit of the Magi really happen exactly as it's recorded here in Matthew's Gospel? But instead, what does Matthew's account of the visit of the Magi to the Messiah reveal about who God is and what it means to live life God's way, to live life according to Jesus? For me, that's the real question. And this, in many ways, is what the church celebration of Epiphany is all about. Not three wise men or any number of wise men visiting Jesus, but God revealing himself about what the visit says about who Jesus is. And as I've been praying and reflecting this week, I've been struck by three aspects of the posture, if you like, or the attitude, or the characteristics, I think any of those words would work, of the Magi. And conveniently, and I didn't work it like this is just how it happened, the three words which have been on my mind this week all begin with the letter A, which to my brain feels quite helpful starting the new year with three words that begin with the first letter of the alphabet. I like that. That's quite pleasing to me. If that means nothing to you, you can ignore that thought. But if that's helpful to you, three words with A coming up, beginning with A coming up this morning. Three attributes of the Magi I'd like to hold before us this morning. And they are these. Their anticipation. So that's the first A, anticipation. Their attentiveness, that's the second A, attentiveness. And their awe, that's the third A. So they're my three words beginning with A as we start the new year, 2026. Anticipation, attentiveness, and awe. And they're the three themes I've been struck by as I've been dwelling in these verses this week. If you were at the, so firstly, anticipation. If you were at the carol service, I mentioned this briefly then, I am struck by how expectant the Magi are. They anticipate the star signaling the birth of a special king, and they anticipate finding this special king. It would seem that they've set out with treasures, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, in expectation of finding someone more worthy than themselves, and these are wealthy wise men, to gift their treasures to. So I'm struck by the major sense of anticipation, of expectancy. There is no sense in these verses of the Magi wondering if they would actually find this newborn queen. The question is where? They set out determined and in hopeful anticipation. I see in the Magi a degree of faith and trust which are not always present in my own life. My prayers often attempt to cover all bases. I want God to guide me, but am often hesitant to follow. I want God to act or speak, to give me a sign, but when he does, I need another sign and another one just to be sure. I believe in an extraordinary God who can and does do extraordinary things. And yet when he does, I'm a little bit suspicious or a little bit hesitant or a little bit questioning. And yet throughout Scripture, particularly when God calls people, the sign often comes after the decision to obediently respond to God's call to step out in faith. Sometimes you have to say yes before you get that affirmation that it's what God wants. So as we enter 2026, I am reflecting on what it means to start the year with anticipation that God will do extraordinary things and reveal himself in extraordinary ways in our time here in Elmdon. What would it look like for us as a church community to anticipate God moving in power amongst us this year? It can, and I'm definitely speaking for myself, be easy to be cynical. We don't have the resources, people, money, whatever it might be, to start a new ministry for children, young people, 18 to 30s, internationals, seniors. What might it look like for us to anticipate God doing extraordinary things and revealing himself in extraordinary ways in the life of our church and community, in our own lives and the lives of those we meet? To trust wholeheartedly that God who calls is faithful, and if God calls us to follow him, God will provide what we need. Now, I'm not encouraging us to live with naive optimism, but instead to live as people who have, like the Magi, seen the star and encountered Jesus. Honestly, I think my instinct would have been to let someone else investigate the star, and then if there's something actually worth seeing there, then I'll go and take a look. I don't know if you'd be like that too. Maybe it's just me. Maybe you'd all be off with the Magi on their horses. So my invitation to all of us this morning is to kind of up our anticipation, that we would anticipate encountering Jesus this year. Not that everything will succeed or work out. I can be sure it won't. But that we would anticipate encountering Jesus. That our extraordinary God will move in extraordinary ways. And that we'd be part of it because we're expecting it. So that's my first A that I was thinking about, what it means to live with anticipation. Second A, living with attentiveness. And two things struck me on this theme about the Magi's attentiveness to the situation with Herod. So the Magi arrive at Herod's palace looking for the special newborn king. And it's a logical place to go. If you're looking for a king, I would go to a palace too. Although I probably wouldn't have set out following the star, as we've already established. I'd be waiting for someone else to do that. But if I was looking for a king, I would go to a palace. It's a logical thing to do. But it's not where the special newborn king is. However, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they are able to point the Magi in the right direction. In Bethlehem in Judea, they say he is to be found. That's verse 5. Herod, however, doesn't like the sound of another king. And I can kind of get that. Like if I was king and there were rumors of another king, I'd be a bit like, oh, what's going on here? Herod is the king and he doesn't like the idea that there's another king. And so under the pretense of wanting to worship Jesus, he asks the Magi to report back to him when they find Jesus, when they find this special newborn king. The Magi are then warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, and they return to their country by another route. That's at the end of our passage, verse 12. I am struck by the fact that the Magi were alert to there potentially being something more sinister going on with Herod. They didn't ignore the dream. I think that's worth noticing. They, when there was a dream with a warning in it, they didn't ignore it. They were kind of spiritually alert, and I am struck by that. There's a sense that they were vigilant. What's really going on here? They were attentive to the warning in the dream. So that's the first thing that I was noticing as I was thinking about attentiveness. Actually, they took notes. They noticed what they were being told in the dream. They were spiritually alert, spiritually attentive. So I was reflecting on what it means to be attentive, to be alert, not to be paranoid, but to be curious, attentive to what's of God and what's not of God. Later in Matthew's gospel, Jesus warns about false prophets, describing them as wolves in sheep's clothing. When God is moving in power, we shouldn't be surprised if the enemy is at work trying to distract and destroy. And so having been thinking about what it means to expect our extraordinary God to do extraordinary things, I think with that, we need to be attentive to how the enemy might want to undermine God moving in power. So that was the first thing I was thinking about. And then I was struck by how sure they were that the warning in the dream was from God, and how they ignored Herod's request and returned by another route. Because I think sometimes I kind of notice things or I hear things, but I'm kind of a bit uncertain. And so I kind of look around, well, what does anyone else think? And I kind of go with a sort of group mentality, group think. Sometimes we can think something, but the togetherness pressure or the groupthink or the herd mentality, whatever name we give to it, can make it difficult to say what we think or make our own decision on something. And yet there's a confidence, I was reflecting, in the Magi. They had this warning in the dream, and that's it. They're off by another route. They took note of it, and they knew that was what they were to do. Now, there are not lots of other people mentioned in the story that they could have consulted on, but I think I was just struck by how sure they were that they were hearing from God in that dream, and how sure they were that they needed to take that warning seriously. So for me, there is a challenge in the action, the decision of the Magi, around having integrity, and that was the word I kind of landed on, not just knowing the right thing to do, but then actually doing it. So that was the second thing that struck me as I was thinking about what it means to be attentive. So to be spiritually alert, but then to have integrity, not just to know the right thing to do, but to actually do it. So my invitation to all of us as we start 2026 is that we would be more attentive to the spirit, to the spiritual, and that we would be more curious, and also that we would be more courageous. So that was second A. Third and final A, awe. I'm struck by the awe of the Magi. They responded by bowing down and worshiping. Their awe for Jesus. And two encouragements came to mind as I reflected on this. The encouragement to spend more time gazing at God. I don't know if you ever spend time gazing at God, just being and staring at God. Because I know when I spend time in prayer and worship and reading God's word, it changes me. Gazing at God, just being in his presence, leads to the breakthroughs I'm seeking in various situations. Not all of them, but some of them. Because it changes me. It changes my posture. It changes my heart. And so I was just reflecting on the response of the Magi and how they were so full of awe that they bowed down and worshipped. And I was challenged to spend more time just gazing at God in his grandeur, in his goodness in 2026. And the encouragement to remember who God is. God is worthy of our worship because he is the God of the impossible. He is the God who can do extraordinary things and reveal himself in extraordinary ways. And he is both great and good. That's like the ultimate combination, great and good. I recently rediscovered a quote by Holocaust survivor Corrie ten Boom. Her book is called The Hiding Place. Some of you might have come across it. And the quote goes like this: never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. And yet, how often, particularly when I'm stressed, do I make God in my own image? Like, if I'm worried about this, like, God must also be worried about this. But God's there thinking, I've got it. Why are you worrying, Becca? If you were here on Christmas Day, we thought a little bit about Isaiah chapter 9 and how Jesus, the great shepherd, is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The Magi bow down and worship because this is who God is. So the invitation is not just to worship because it's good for us. The invitation to worship is because of who God is. Wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And he's in your corner and he's in my corner. So my final invitation to all of us for 2026 and beyond is that we might be more awe-filled. I was going to say that we might be more awesome, but I don't think that quite works. So I think the phrase I want is awe-filled. I mean, I hope you're more awesome in 2026 as well. But my invitation to us is that we might be more awe-filled. That as individuals and as a church community, we would give ourselves afresh to the Lord in prayer and worship. And that as we do this, we would be reminded of his goodness and his greatness. We come to worship not just because it's a good thing to do or a habit for a Sunday, but because he's worthy of it. Like, I'm not a morning person. I wouldn't get up on a Sunday morning and come to church if I didn't think God was worthy of my worship. And he's in your corner and he's in my corner. We're at that time of year where talk always turns to resolutions and goals, and I told you earlier, I can be cynical. I think a lot of it's around marketing and advertising and probably money, that sort of thing. And I think Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, invites us not to try harder, which is, I think, the focus of a lot of kind of resolutions or goals. Kind of you set something that you're going to do or achieve and then you work towards it. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But I think the invitation of Matthew chapter 2 is quite radical, because I think it's an invitation not to try harder, but instead to surrender. To try less. Which is perhaps the hardest resolution of all, because I feel safe when I'm doing and I'm fixing and it makes my world feel safe. And yet I think the invitation is to surrender, to let go of ourselves, because when we let go of ourselves, this God who is worthy of our worship, not just for the sake of it, but because he is good and he is great, he can move in extraordinary ways and reveal himself in extraordinary ways. And so my prayer for all of us is that in surrender we might be full of anticipation, attentive to the Spirit's leading, and in awe of the God we worship. In surrender, may our posture be one of anticipation, attentiveness, and awe, because we have an extraordinary God who does extraordinary things and reveals himself in extraordinary ways. And so I offer those three A's to you as we begin 2026 together. Amen.